We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Miami Open is one of the premier tennis events going on right now, featuring the best players from around the world with its new home at Hard Rock Stadium. This event will provide an incredible experience for avid tennis fans and casual event enthusiasts alike. For ticketing information, go to www.miamiopen.com. Going on now, unless we get the pouring rain like we did yesterday.
Well, I drove by it yesterday on my way out of here, and I couldn't believe how many cars were going
There's
in.
There's still a
it
lot of people,
pouring,
right?
And I
yeah.
was like, what are you folks? It's going to rain, man. They're going, no, it's going to let up. It's going to let up.
I think people are going in there for the food.
Well, listen, if it ain't raining, they're going to be playing. That's for sure. They got a lot of matches to make up, and especially if it's 2 days, they'll do whatever they can today. If it gets dry at all, they'll be getting those courts ready to go real quickly to get guys and the women and men to start playing here real quickly. Got a lot of stuff going on. Tate Martell, man, and his eligibility, no longer an issue. He the NCAA has made him eligible to play for next season. So, boy, I tell you what, timing's perfect. First day, even though it was rainy, he got that indoor facility, and he finds out, hey, by the way, I'm eligible to play. So, that makes this competition that much better because, let's face it, if Tate Martell played great during the spring and he wins a job and you go, oh, that's great, except he can't play for a year.
Yeah, that would have stunk,
right? Yep. But now he's eligible to play in the new offense. Jaren Williams, Nkosi Perry, the three of them. I think it's open. Do you feel like it's open?
Or
do you feel like Tate's already kind of – said every time he talks, his leadership, he's got 10 or 15 guys around him, and I'm like, ooh.
I think this is a bad.
It's a good start, though.
Tate Martell getting eligible is honestly the worst for Nkosi. That's what I think it is. Because we've already seen Nkosi kind of on the field.
Wow, I agree.
And I think that Nkosi, because Nkosi, when he wasn't playing, it's always the backup quarterback, right? It's always the guy that if your starter's struggling, even though your backup hasn't been in a game yet, hasn't played anything yet, ooh, man, I can't wait to see what Nkosi's got. It's the same thing with Jaren Williams. Like, we're thinking, ooh, we can't wait to see what he's got. Now Tate Martell comes in also. You got two of these guys you don't know much about because they haven't put anything on the field for you to look at, and you already know, or you not know, but you already seen Nkosi on the field. I do think that at this point, the worst-case scenario yesterday was Tate getting eligible for Nkosi Perry. I think Williams still has a chance to fight in this thing and do whatever. I think Nkosi now automatically goes to the three, and it's not his fault. It's because of players. Case Weldon left. Case would have been just all the way down the list, no matter what he did. But I do think that Tate Martell shows a little bit out there, and he does have some swag already. We've already seen that. And some of the reporters yesterday talking about Tate Martell's got some zip on the ball. He looks good out there. I just think that it's honestly, as bad as this is to say, it's Tate Martell's job to lose now.
Well, Jaren Williams got to get a chance.
I hope he does.
Jaren Williams is a fair chance.
Yes.
Really talented guy, but I do agree on Nkosi Perry, although I don't think it was all his fault.
No, I'm not blaming him for everything. That team stunk last year. That offense
was just bad, from route running to the whole thing was just. I'm not taking shots at people that are gone. It was just bad.
Joe, the offense stunk last year.
167 passing yards a game. Oh. Think about that. And they had some good throwing games against some real bad teams, just to how bad they were, especially when they got into the ACC. But, yeah, I think Jaren Williams going to get a real legit shot at this thing. But Tate Martell is the hot name of now, and he's either a four or five star, according to who you hear from. He played at a real famous school, Bishop Gorman, out in Las Vegas, and he's got teammates here.
That's why I think he's going to be given every opportunity.
And the guys are fired up, and he's been at a big program. He's been at one of the best programs in Ohio State. But I still think it's great that you got a little something to you, but you got to make throws.
Of course.
You got to lead the offense. So they all get a fresh start with a brand new offense that they're all learning, and we'll see. But I feel the same way about Nikosi Perry. Nothing against him.
No.
I don't blame him for everything that took place last year. The offense, especially the passing game, was just not what you hoped it would be. And I thought after the Florida State game, he had something figured out, and it just didn't work out that way. But he's going to have to. And by the way, the defensive coordinator is now the head coach. He got to see it up close.
Sure.
So he's going to have his own thoughts on this thing, and he's got final say on everything. So I would say Nikosi's going to have to really – I'm not saying it's over.
No, but he's starting from scratch.
He's going to have to – I mean, the stuff that he did, it doesn't just go away. Whether it's his fault or not, doesn't just go away. When
it's on tape, Joe. Everyone watches tape.
You're throwing pick sixes and you're getting benched and going back to the guy you really didn't want to play again. And, you know, it just got into, oh, he's bad, so put him in. Oh, God, he's playing bad, put him in. And Mark Richt was trying to get something going. And by the way, the problem might have been a lot bigger in either one of those quarterbacks. It could have been the system, and what they were doing was predictable in that same lineup and offense and everything else that they had. So anyway, we're going to find out what happens as Tate Martell is now eligible, coming off the portal right into the U, and he got his green light. By the way, Ohio State actually helped out and did everything they could to help him. They didn't fight it at all, and why would they? They got the number one
quarterback. They got their guy, yeah.
Right?
I think they would have fought Georgia. It if their guy hadn't been eligible yet, marked eligible.
Well, in fairness to him, I mean, that we don't have to talk about that because they did. He got eligible right away, and they did the same for Tate Martell.
But every school should be like that right now. Like, you really shouldn't be that petty if a guy wants to leave.
Well, they got to put rules in. They got the NCAA.
Until that happens.
Many things. They got to figure out, you know, how you go about it, whether your coach leaves. Gets fired, leaves on his own, whatever you want to call the situation of Urban Meyer. I just think that, and by the way, does anybody think Urban's really going to stay away from the program? There's no way he's not going to be around. Anytime I hear a guy becomes a head coach and then gets a job with the program, I just feel like Urban's still going to be somewhat involved in this, right? He just can't walk completely away. You think he takes another job?
Eventually, yes. Not.
You think those headaches and stuff, whatever's in on his
they're
brain,
they're
going to
go
stuff?
Right away when that coach in Notre Dame gets fired in the next couple of years, or when they let him go, whatever the case is. That's his job.
Well, listen,
he was talking about Notre Dame at Florida.
He keeps winning. I don't think he's going to have to worry about that too
much.
No,
but it'll end up happening. It happens everywhere. A couple of years from now, maybe not next year, you know, 2 or 3 years from now, he struggles 1 year, they get rid of the guy, Urban sniffing around campus. They know that. It's another big name to bring
but
in.
But Urban can't say the same thing like, oh, this is the job I always wanted because he already did that with Ohio State.
Yeah, he'll say the same exact thing.
So, oh, man, this is – I mean, Ohio State job was good, but, I mean, Notre Dame, this is the job. You're like, wait a second, man. You got to come up with something new. You said that about Ohio State. Mm-hmm.
Take off that Ohio State garb that he was wearing in that video, put a Notre Dame hat on him and a Notre Dame shirt, and just replay the entire press conference, and that's fine.
They're having their pro day today, and they've got some really good players, of course. Two of the
top 7 or 8 picks probably in the draft. Bosa and Haskins, are you kidding me?
I'm really curious about Haskins, whose name is – nobody really talks. I mean, we've got this Kyler Murray
thing.
That's
the reason why.
And nobody talks about the other guys and where they might go. And we probably aren't going to know till the draft where everybody falls in this thing.
Joe, there's a mock that came out yesterday that had the Dolphins taking Haskins at 13. I never thought there was a chance or a possibility of him dropping to 13.
We have seen, and it's the same thing we talked about yesterday with Omar, is you take one of those guys, top half of the draft, better be your guy. I mean, you better be all in on him. There's no excuse today for the problems they used to have when, oh, by the way, I didn't know he had a drug problem. I didn't know his background. I didn't know, you know, he had all these issues and came from a family of violence. And, I mean, now with all the investigation stuff and everything you can do, there's no reason to get guys that have mental health issues, which are becoming a bigger and bigger problem. And I think we had two guys that have had mental health issues, right?
Yes.
One was a second-round pick. One was a first-round pick, mm-hmm. without getting into the whole thing. But there's no reason I'm not going to rip Jeff Ireland. I know you think I'm getting ready to rip Jeff Ireland.
I'm waiting for it, yeah.
No, but there's no excuse to take guys that you're going to give a seven-figure bonus to and money. As important as those picks are, not do your homework completely through. And I know for a fact we didn't do it. We listened to a coach who later goes, I didn't know either, which.
God.
And then, you know, who do we have on and said, you can't believe what coaches say? I've learned as a scout. Who was that? Somebody came on and told us. And I totally believe that. You can ask him, hey, what kind of work ethic and stuff? Anything on the background coach, you know, and a lot of coaches are going to defend their guys.
Of course.
Oh, no, he's a great guy.
They're going to pump their guys up.
You got to go do homework. You got to get to the town and the high school, and you got to go find out what, you know, besides just – you got to do thorough stuff if you're going to take guys high, especially in the first few rounds and
the amount of money you get. Well, of course a coach wants their guy to go up, right? I mean, if you're a coach at a school at Oregon or or Ohio State, wherever it is, you want 3-4 first-round picks. You want 10 guys drafted in the first 2 days. That looks great for you. So you're not going to talk a guy down, but man, if you trust everything one of these coaches tell you as the Bible, as church, as this is it, this is the guy, you're stupid. And that's what we did for years.
Honestly, the Johnny Manziel deal, and we kind of thought the partying thing was, he had a problem.
Yes.
And nobody did their homework.
Nobody wanted to.
Shame on Cleveland. To not go out and find out, hey, Johnny Manziel's got a friggin' drug and alcohol problem. Yeah. This is not just casual banging a couple of sorority girls and getting liquored up at a party.
No, my man's drinking all week long except for game day. And then game day night, though, he's drinking, though. Like, he's going out to the frat
house.
Then
he comes out, he doesn't help going, yeah, nobody knew I had this problem. Like, well, yeah, good job hiding. You got your money.
For all the money that these teams spend, you say it all the time, scouting department, between the general manager and all the scouts in the scouting department, how does one person not find out? Yeah, how does not find out?
That's why.
That Deion Jordan's got an issue or Jonathan Martin's got an issue or one of these guys around the league has an issue. How do you not find that out? I just don't understand that. That's a total epic fail by whoever is in charge of those departments.
The system's never going to be perfect as far as hitting on first-round picks and second-round picks. It's just not. And I understand that. And you switch coaches and switch systems. But with all the technology and stuff, and listen, it's their job to have a feel like if a guy – talking about Haskins and these quarterbacks in this thing after Murray. But it's your job. It's not my job. It's not your job. It's not Hollywood. It's your job with all the resources you have around you. And this is what you've been doing to know – can this guy play at a high level in your system or not? And not wait 7 years if it doesn't work.
By the way, the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line 56022 stays undefeated as always. It was Jim Nagy who told us about the don't trust the coaches.
Yeah. It's funny. We've never really asked a guy that was a scout that's got to go out and do the homework up front before the big guys get involved. Like the starts with the scout and he goes, hey, love this guy. I want you guys to look at him. What do you think? And then it gets to the GM. He goes, all right, we're gonna get out and start doing our work.
Someone just texted him, what about Justin Blackmon? Remember the Ohio State wide receiver?
Well, that's a great story because some of the teams waited outside. He came out of the same bar drunk every night.
That's what it says. The receiver that was seen at the bar every day after practice, and then Jacksonville drafted him, 7th overall. But every day after practice, he went to the same exact bar. And everyone knew that.
It's a great story. And, of course, sad
ending.
Sad
story. Sad ending. Yeah.
And by the way, didn't he tease him before he finally got suspended? He had some huge game, and you're like, but he couldn't stop smoking and drinking.
Yep. Radio.com.
Radio.com.
I went to talk and nobody's home. On this rainy day.
I heard it.
Good thing I
screamed
stopped.
In my face.
Good thing I stopped. What do you got for me? Anything
you
want to
looking at each other. I didn't know what you were going to do.
Oh, man. All right, let's do a giveaway right here real quick. Nick Mason of Pink Floyd is bringing Interstellar Overdrive to North America. For the first time, Nick Mason's Sauce Full of Secrets will be live at the Fillmore in Miami Beach. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. 800-227-0560 right now. Call for your chance to win two tickets to the show. It's Nick Mason's Sauce Full of Secrets live at the Fillmore in Miami Beach. You can go to Ticketmaster.com or you can call 800-227-0560 right now and win two tickets to the show.
All right, San Antonio, Miami tonight. And speaking of that, and we've been kind of following everybody and how the standings are going right now. Last night, if you like unbelievable comebacks that just don't happen every day, how about the Brooklyn Nets down by 25 points to start the fourth quarter, outscore the Sacramento Kings in Sacramento 45-18 in the fourth quarter to come back and win that game 123-121. You want to talk about a really bad loss and an unbelievable win that may not happen again. Can you imagine being up 25? You're up 25 to start the fourth.
Yeah, it's over.
You're real close to, like, resting guys.
Yeah, you're right.
You go a couple of minutes and go, hey, you know, we can't get this under 20 or 18. Let's go and let everybody play. And they got going, but you're up 25. And I always think like this, like, even if you just score 15 points in a quarter, yeah, which
you should be all
that's
right.
A bad quarter, yeah. But that's 40 points that they still got a long way to go.
Just don't give up 45.
Just don't give up 45.
isn't that what you do in the huddle? Guys, listen, we're not playing prevent here. Just don't get so loose on defense that we're going to lose this game. Just go out there and play the game. And D'Angelo Russell, what, he had 17 points at half, zero in the third quarter, and then blew up in the fourth. I mean, blew up.
27 points in the fourth, and you'll see the highlights. He was either getting layups or on the break, and they were scoring fast. I mean, yeah. They were getting it out. Sacramento started missing shots, and they were getting out. So he's either in the open court going for layups or hitting three-point shots, and he got hot. He scored 27 in a quarter. That's getting after
that's Clay
pretty
Thompson
good.
Hot right there.
Yeah, or a little Steph Curry in there. But Nets come back, man. 45-18 in the fourth. They outscore Sacramento. Man, that would be – Sacramento had a chance to get back to 500. And it was like, oh, my God. And Sacramento's got a nice little team, but that's a really bad loss.
No. Horrible.
At home.
Horrible loss for them. And a huge win for the Nets, by the way, because a loss there would have been actually very good for the Miami Heat.
That Milwaukee thing, of course, the Heat had one of those, but
that was a pretty bad meltdown by the Heat.
That was a bad one, but not
like this.
No, that was
25 in the fourth, and your leading scorer is just not playing well at all, and then all of a sudden, boom, 27 points.
Yeah, that's just crazy. So Vontaze Burfict, for a little NFL news here. Vontaze Burfict has been with Cincinnati. Everybody knows he either gets suspended or is always paying fines for late hits and head-to-head and cheap shots and everything else. So he'd been by the way, he's a hell of a linebacker. Kind of lost in everything. If he wasn't so dirty, I mean, he'd have been great in the old days. Like, he could have played next to Dick Butkus and been great. But anyway, the Raiders take him and give him a contract. So that means he and Antonio Brown, who he gave one of those cheap shots to.
That's right.
Right? And knocked him out. They're now going to be teammates. But in the old days, if I would have told you Burfict was going to Oakland, you would have said, that's the team.
I mean, when he signed with them, that's exactly what I thought of. You actually said something very funny, too, because I said the Raiders are the perfect team for him. And you said, well, the Cowboys would, and I go, you're right. Those are your two teams.
The Cowboys today with Jerry Jones or the Raiders in the old days.
Yeah, you're right.
I was
two perfect fits for him.
I was at Cal, and the Raiders were in the prime of just being friggin' nuts in the late 70s and early 80s. They were just crazy. And they used to have, you remember Matuzak? Remember one of their defensive? I'm going way back for people. Anyway, they had Lyle Alzado and Matuzak playing next to each other.
Yeah.
And by the way, between them, they were crazy.
Well, right? I know the story of Lyle.
Well, they both
Alzado.
Passed
yeah.
away. They've been gone a long time with steroids and all the other stuff.
Bad.
Probably too much West Coast powder.
Sure.
Probably didn't help.
Yeah. On top of the steroids?
Anyway,
sure.
so they had this story, and some of our guys on our team got to see it. And they were really good. The Raiders were great with us. They used to come during spring football, like, it was the coolest thing. Like, we're at practice one day, and Willie Brown, who's one of the greatest, like, defensive backs of all time, and all these guys used to come over. Dave Casper, and I was like, this is cool as hell. They had those really good teams, and all those guys used to come over to Berkeley, work out, and then work out with us, and so it was pretty cool. So some of our guys got to know him, and, like, got to go out and see how crazy it was. Matusek used to go, like a lot of guys in towns, go find the hottest clubs in San Francisco or East Bay or over in San Francisco, and he would go to a club, but he used to have a guy go early. I've never heard of this. Now, Matusek was crazy. Huge man and nuts. Would fight and was crazy and wiped out bars, and I'm going back. Like, stuff you can't do today.
Of course.
So he had a guy.
I already like the story.
This is unbelievable. So he had a guy go out in front that was one of his buddies, and he'd go in the bar, and Matusek didn't want big guys in the bar. He had this hang up with big guys. So he used to tell these guys, like, come in. I mean, if you just happen to be some guy, a lot of Berkeley and Stanford people work out there professionally and go to these nice clubs. And he used to go, hey, just a heads up, man. You got like 20 minutes. You got to finish up your drink and you got to leave. So these guys go, what? Not leaving? Sitting here talking, he's late. What are you talking about? He goes, Tuesday's coming. And everybody knows on Tuesday, because that was an off day.
Twos on Tuesday?
Yeah, that's twos. And twos doesn't want to see you in this place on a Tuesday.
Wow.
And so he went around to like five or six guys in these bars and told them, hey, black, white, Hispanic, hey, you got to go. Two's coming in with his boys, and, like, you got to go. Why? Doesn't like big guys in the bar.
That's crazy.
So, now, a lot of times guys didn't leave.
Of course not. I mean, come on.
And he used to clear out bars. Like, he got in there, and back then there was nobody. It was a Wild West back in the league. Was crazy, right? And those guys. So, those stories were all over Berkeley. Like, did you hear what Tuz did last night? Two guys didn't leave. They were asked to leave. And then when he got there, he goes, hey, you need to leave right now. And the guy goes, I ain't leaving. And then the guy was like, Matusek was like 6'8", if I'm not mistaken. Jeez. He was a huge man. And he was crazy. He was literally, he'd be in mental health. Like, if we had met like today, he'd be getting evaluated.
I'm laughing.
Right in front of Richie.
Yeah.
So these stories were unbelievable. And it was every Tuesday night.
That's great. Twos and Tuesday. That's awesome.
So that was their night off, because back then, a lot of teams would make you come back in on Monday, watch film, stretch, and then you had Tuesday off. And that was his night, man, to roll.
Wow. Someone just texted in that Matusek played Sloth from Goonies in the Goonies movie.
I don't know.
Was him. Sloth was like 7 feet tall. Like, there's a huge dude. If that's the truth, then I know who he is, but I don't know him by playing football.
Oh, no. He had a psycho look to him.
Yeah, I know. This guy he was had, a...
He and Lyle
chained
Alzado
in the basement. Yeah.
In the early 80s. I mean, we come out of the huddle, and like, oh, no, this is...
I wouldn't want to be an offensive lineman playing against him.
And they always used to say the same thing. Don't effing cut me, or I'll kill you. They didn't want... Can you imagine your offensive line comes out of the huddle,
no.
and they go... And the first thing, preseason, regular season, for some reason, we always played the Raiders. And there they are, those two guys. And you knew, by the way, you knew they're probably out all night.
Mm.
You know they were hopped up.
Yeah, probably are now, too, while you're playing.
So you're like, and they go, hey, stay away from our friggin' knees. And you couldn't block either one of those guys high. You had to chop them.
Did you ever have to cut it?
No, man, okay. but our guys did, and it got
ugly.
Yeah, those guys, they didn't mind taking penalties back there. They'd hit you up the head or punch you or whatever.
Like, well, Vontaze, this is a perfect place for him then, right in Raider
Land. Back then, you couldn't get kicked out of games. It was crazy. Hey, by the way, we got a lot more stuff to get to. We got Ira Winderman going to join us at 8 o'clock. We'll check in on the Heat and the NBA. Plus, we got Hollywood's headlines here. He's probably got some pretty good stuff.
I can imagine.
Rainy day here. It's been a little slow, though. We haven't had any news in Dade County about anything.
No, 305 hasn't been really in the news. 305, that much, right?
Now, the Moss family went 305 up to 954.
They went up to 954.
Yeah, but they went up there, and it was all good news. because
by the way, I have to correct you on something.
What happened?
Vontaze not just one time against Antonio Brown twice, and then another time just against the entire Pittsburgh team, either suspended or thrown out of the game.
I didn't know that.
Hit to head area against Antonio Brown. This was on October 19th of 18.
How much did he get fined before we go to break?
Oh, you want total?
Yeah.
Suspended in total in his career 10 games and fined or lost $4.2 million. I can't wait to read you this list.
That's got
to
be a record, right?
But the things that's detailed in here, and also I told you on October 18, Antonio Brown, also on April 1st, hit to a defenseless, well, that's when it was the suspension went through, but hit to a defenseless receiver on Antonio Brown. He was suspended 3 games with a $500,000 fine in the 16 season also. And then at one point, he was just, it was a combination of unsportsmanlike against Pittsburgh.
We'll come back and we'll talk more about that. That's crazy.
I got a great list.
Crazy, crazy stuff.
Radio.com. Now, it's time for Hollywood's Headlines. Without further ado, here's Hollywood.
All right, Salty, what do you got for us today, man? Some good stuff there?
Well, let's just straighten something out first, Joe. Stop asking us who to pick.
Right? Isn't that annoying?
There's nothing worse than seeing anyone talk about their bracket.
No. Let me explain to you how he does it.
Is Kentucky talented?
No, this is it. Hey, man. You think... think Texas Tech and North Kentucky's a good, like, what do you like there?
Yeah, every team that's
like, you're not asking.
Good, Joe. Pick who you think is better.
That's it.
You make the tournament, you're probably decent.
You ain't winning anywhere.
Jeez, I got attacked. I'm trying to fill out these different brackets. I'm running out of time, man.
I just like that.
I'm mixing it in with my cheat sheet from all the guys over the last two nights.
I just like your questions, though. Your questions are all, man, Ole Miss Oklahoma, it's a good matchup. What do you like there?
Last thing I said was Murray State's got a really good player, but.
Yep.
Well, he goes, Oregon, Wisconsin, who do you like in that game? I don't know.
Then he'll drop a nugget on you. Man, Kansas can't win on the road, man. They're struggling on the road. Like, wow, where'd you get that? He goes, that was the last thing I heard in my cheat sheet yesterday. I was watching the show.
All right, man.
I don't watch the Pac-12 for anything, any sport.
Yeah, you should be a Pac-12 guy. Tell me about the Pac-12.
I don't watch any of it.
Yeah. But you ripped the Pac for everything.
No one can even find half those schools. Eugene?
Oh, no. Eugene, Oregon's been around for a long time, smartass.
Yeah,
been around
a long time. You ready?
Yeah, go ahead. Why you always got to rip?
No, it's just funny. You're asking us who you think is going to win all these games. You're going to be up there, by the way, on the bracket challenge. You're submitting an entry, which is exciting.
That's why I want to make sure I'm strong.
Kansas play well on the road or no?
Kansas struggles on the road. Very good at home. All right. What else you got?
Neutral sites, Joe. How are they?
We've only had a couple of those in tournaments.
Oh, man.
Mixed bag.
So we've been seeing a lot of Stephen A. Smith lately, right? He's been all over everything.
What'd he do now? Go ahead.
I actually kind of feel bad because I feel like it's difficult to know everything about every single sport.
He got all kinds of people.
You guys be the judge. Should he have known this one here?
Jeff Passan, having said all of that, we look at other individuals. A Mike Socha, for example, entering his 19th season as the manager for this ball club. Does a contract like Mike Trout apply more pressure to somebody like him to turn things around, or else Marina's going to move in a different direction?
Well, Socha is gone, actually. Brad Ausmus is the manager.
Oh, my God. I'm sorry. I totally forgot about that. I can't believe I forgot about that because Mike Socha was one of my favorite guys. No problem.
There's a lot of shuffling going on during
You got to love those guys come on. It's not your
because
fault.
Because if you're Jeff Passan, if you're an NFL guy on that show, if you're something and he makes a statement like that, you got to kind of correct him, but you don't want to rip the guy. But you got to say, dude, Socha's not there anymore. You got to say this dude's been on IR for Hunter Henry hasn't played all season.
Here's the problem. There's this one. And everybody makes mistakes, yes. The problem with Stephen A. is he's got so many people working for him that do nothing but research. That should never happen. It just shouldn't happen. Mm. Now, if you're working at a small station, you're doing everything yourself, and all of a sudden you're going a different avenue and you're not real familiar and you're kind of going off the top of your head, that stuff can happen. Mm. But he knew they were going to come on and they're going to talk about Trout and his manager and the new manager or the old and what's this do to the team. You got to know.
Mm. Yeah. I mean,
you got to know that. And by the way, he doesn't need to know that, but a guy goes, hey, heads up, new manager for Trout.
Hey, guess what? Before they do all these shows, they get a breakdown on a sheet of paper in front of them and they know all their stuff. They could write themselves little notes. So it's not like they just came up with this question out of nowhere and said, Stephen A., what do you think?
But this just leads to people going, Stephen A., just stick to the NBA. That's your bread and
butter. If that's your thing, do
it. Don't try to do football and baseball and just do your basketball.
It's got to, though. It's a national show.
No, I know he is.
Yeah. Did you guys catch Mike Francesa yesterday, by the way?
Oh, no, what did he do?
He was rambling.
He's been on a roll, too.
Yeah, his stuff is more sad than Stephen A.'s, but he was rambling about how a 16 has never beaten a 1 in the NCAA tournament.
Oh, no.
Yeah. I believe that happened last year.
Mike, last season. I can hear the producer. Last year it happened.
Didn't they tweet out?
Maryland,
Baltimore
County.
You weren't
on the
air last year at this time. You wouldn't have known or something?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No. UMBC Athletics tweeted out to that video, he was retired when we won.
The problem is, I mean, there's audio from that show every day we could play if we really
But somebody told me on his show, because it's part of the company, those guys are real careful not to correct him on the air. So they have to wait
until it's done.
Until the break.
He'll come back after break.
He goes, hey, I made a. But you can't correct him or you lose your job.
At that point, I would have said in your ear.
Very familiar with that pressure. I understand what that's like.
No, I like correcting Joe when he does something stupid. Same with me.
All right. What's next?
You want to move on?
Joe, yeah. Maryland, Baltimore County. They won last year. One seed.
All right, so Damon Jones has been making the rounds over at ESPN as well, and he was on the Jalen and Jacoby radio show, and he actually spoke for the first time about an incident. You guys remember back in 2018, he had the soup incident J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith.
J.R. Smith, by the way, has a lot of incidents pending. So here's Damon Jones talking about the J.R. Smith soup incident.
When J.R. Smith threw soup at you, it was chicken tortilla soup. We know this, but I have a very important question.
Yes.
When this is what I want to know.
Okay.
Did he throw the soup at you, or did he throw the bowl along with the soup at you? Like, did he, like, pour the soup on you, or did he launch the bowl?
Well, for a long time, I refused to talk about the soup incident.
This is a safe space.
Yeah, I mean, it's okay now because I've moved on. Me and JR, we talked about it, and you know, he apologized. But it was the bowl plus the soup.
The bowl and the soup.
And it was the first bowl out of the pot, so it was hot.
Oh, no.
Yes,
it was hot. Oh, no.
Very hot.
Where did it get you? Awesome. Did the chest? Were you seated?
It went everywhere. No, I was standing up.
Oh, you were standing up?
Yeah, I was standing up, and it hit me and shoulder, arm, everywhere. It hit the wall, and... I mean, it was a mess.
Could you forgive somebody that
I mean,
that would
throw
be,
a bowl of soup, scorching hot,
it's unforgivable.
Hot.
That's something you don't throw.
Chicken tortilla soup.
Well, it's not as bad as spitting on somebody, but it's bad.
I mean, no.
I think I'd rather get spit on than have a
bowl of hot soup. No.
Spitting's as low as you go.
You
man.
Throw a bowl of soup at me, I'm gonna be shocked because you threw a bowl of soup at me.
Well, you guy would be burnt. He said it was the first bowl.
I'm sure it's hot and everything, and that probably causes for a fight. You spit at me, we're fighting no matter who it is. I don't care.
Well, you're not fighting if someone throws a bowl of soup at you?
No, I'm going to have to first not be burnt in my face. And
I think the soup is more damaging than the spit.
No.
Get out of here, man.
Somebody spits at you.
You're nastier than somebody spitting on you.
I'll tell you what. Check all the times that Channing Crowder got into issues on the field with people, including Matt Light, and check how heated he was when LeBron McClain spit at him on the field. Channing was you could not even, he was going to kill someone in his own locker.
Everybody's different, though. I mean.
No, but spitting on a guy.
Today's poll, would you rather get hit by scalding hot soup or spit?
Yeah. I'm guessing the soup's going to win that one.
Well,
that sucks.
Now that he made it, like, and I got boiling water hitting me, that wouldn't exactly feel good either.
Yeah, someone spits in your face.
Speaking of lowlifes, we got one more thing about Bobby Kraft here. So he is going
You're such a jack. Bobby Kraft.
He's going to basically plead guilty to this whole deal that he was involved in at the Asian Orchid Spa. So he has to, the proposed deferred prosecution agreement is what it's called. It calls for completion of an education course about prostitution, completion of 100 hours of community service, and screening for sexually transmitted diseases and payment of some court costs.
Do you really think that's going to, like, somehow rehabilitate him worth $6.5 billion? He went in there. Do they think? And by the way, looked like he was going to fight this. How are you going to fight video of you?
You got to do whatever you got to do to make sure that video doesn't get
that
loose.
That video's out there, and
it would be fantastic to see him picking up trash on the side of the road or something, though, wouldn't it?
No, that will never happen.
I don't know what they're going to make him do.
Never
I like
happen.
That they're submitting him to a test, by the way. That's kind of rough.
He got a little bigger problem called the owner's meetings coming up.
Yes, you're right. They're going to have to do something to him, right? He'll get a little bit of a...
By the way, you know who's going to lead the charge against him?
Jerry Jones.
Yeah. Goes, oh, ha-ha. Yeah, you led the charge me losing my running back. He goes, yeah, and you were against my quarterback. And that'll be a little...
Jerry's got to be careful, too. Wasn't there a questionable picture of him running around the circuit a couple years back?
Well, do you guys think he schedules the prostitution course while he's getting suspended, while the games are going on, since he'll be free? Can you imagine showing up to that class and Robert Kraft's next?
No, I can't.
He's rolling his eyes the whole time. Are we almost done?
Yeah.
Are my hours up?
What if I gave you $100,000? Can we get this done? I love that fact. I mean, what a crazy story.
By the way, we're not making fun of the whole situation. I mean, it's just that.
No.
I don't know how you fight video of you actually in there.
Correct.
And seeing what's being done to you one of two ways. Than walking out and having your driver take you and jump on a jet and go watch your team play. That's beautiful, man.
Listen, could not make that up. Get away with it, yeah?
Tell the guy, just be a couple of minutes.
He's a gross human being.
He's a damn good owner.
Yeah, can't really.
Man, damn good owner. Yeah. Just, I don't know if it was by accident or he got lucky, but just about the time he got his private stadium done, he also started winning. And winning and winning, and he just won again. Just
I like
keeps
this
going.
Text, by just the way, community service should be helping the Dolphins draft.
Can Bob Kraft's community service be somehow connected to helping the Dolphins in this year's draft?
How funny would that be?
Oh, my God.
The court said you have to take your staff, including Belichick, down. And
you either can't go to a game all season long in your own stadium, or Bill Belichick's got a draft for the Dolphins.
One year. Give it a shot. Hey, we got 8 o'clock hour coming up. We got a lot more stuff that we'll get to as Ira Winderman will join us coming up. So stay with us for that.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.